Okay, tonight's message is trust God, commit, expect, and follow. And I want y'all to know that Pastor always knows. When he asks you to teach on something, there's a reason. And there is a reason because for 2 weeks I have gone over and over this and I've gotten so many different messages from God. And it was almost like today, I just mentioned that I felt like God was saying a funny to me. Like he just kept on, I'm enjoying this so much. I'm enjoying my relationship with you. I'm enjoying you craving me and me answering and just our time together. So I just would, you know, say to you that being in the presence of God and just seeking his face is just something not to be taken for granted, but I think that we do. And I think that can be one of the points that perhaps, you know, trusting God becomes an issue because we forget. We forget that he just wants that intimacy with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for this time. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are going to speak through me. I yield everything that Deborah is, all of her reasoning, anything that she prepared, Father God. I want it to be of you. I want your hands to be my hands, my mouth to be what you need to say. And I thank you, Father, that we are all in one like accord, that our ears receive and our hearts receive what you have for us this night. I thank you for knitting us together. I thank you for this good word. And I thank you that everything that needs to be said will be said, Father, and that you will hold me back from anything that's not of you. Give you all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, commit, expect, and follow. And this is a familiar scripture. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means all of it. And lean not. That means don't give in to what you think. Don't give in to what your plan is. Don't give in to how things look. But in all your ways. And that means all your ways. That means in your hopes. That means in what you got going on right now. That means in where you're going to be and where you've been, in everything that you've gone through, in all of your ways concerning your life and yourself and your relationship with God, that you are to trust in Him, to acknowledge Him, to rely on Him, to lean on Him. And then guess what He's going to do? He's going to make your way straight. That is God's promise. When we trust in Him, He makes our way straight. So our first step, of course, is to commit to God. And looking around, I know that this body of Christ has committed to God, that they have given their heart to God through salvation, through Christ Jesus. And the scripture is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should have everlasting life. You know, we take God on that promise. We trust him on that. We say, oh, when I die, I know I'm going to heaven. But, you know, it doesn't stop there. That God doesn't want us to stop on salvation or on the salvation message. He wants to enter in, and that's the first step of entering into a relationship with him. And that's the first step of trust. Because we trust that this life on earth is going to be eternally with him because we have given it over to him through Christ Jesus. We have repented of our sins and accepted Christ as our Savior. And so God is committed to us for redemption through Christ Jesus. He has said, I love you so much, I'm giving you my Son. And when you accept him and you commit to me through him, then we start a relationship. We start a new road, a new way of thinking, a new life. It's all started new. And it's first with our commitment. But like I said, he doesn't want us to stay there. It begins the part of our acceptance of a relationship. You know, if you go apply for a job somewhere, and they're going to ask you for a resume. They're going to ask you about your name and who you are and, you know, what you've done. And you're going to tell them. And some of the things you might not want to tell them. You know, like, well, I worked over here for, you know, 2 weeks, and I've been over here for like a week, and then they're going to ask you, well, why did you leave? Well, I didn't like my boss. Don't think that's going to go over real well in your resume of getting the next job. But you know what's great about God is when we seek employment. God says, I'm sending out a resume. I love you. You're my creation. I want you as my child, and I want you as my warrior for my kingdom.
Yeah.
And I want to bless you, and I want to give you a job. I got a job for you and a purpose. And you know, I already seen your resume. I already know. But he wants us to acknowledge that so that we can start a ground of trust. We don't have to hide from him. And so just like going to an employer and filling out, you know, whatever it is, I guess a resume. It's been a while since I've had to go to an employer, but anyway. So when you do that, you're actually seeking. You are seeking something the employer has, and you're telling them about yourself. It's the same with the relationship with God. He wants us to come to him and commit. And what he tells us is, you know what, you're not going to be doing this alone. I'm not going to leave you alone. Now, your employer, you know, he may have set out some people in your department, and he has books and guidelines and things that are going to help you. So your employer is also going to give you advice on which way you should go. Well, we have our advice. It's God's Word.
Yes.
It's called the Bible. And then he hasn't left us there in our commitment with no power, because he gave us Jesus. And through Jesus, we can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. It was actually the Holy Spirit that gave us the ability to commit to God, to turn from our ways and see our absence from God, to see our sins and to acknowledge him. So that was our first step of trust. The next thing that God wants us to do is to expect. He wants us to come into this relationship. If you went to a job, you're going there expecting something. You're expecting a paycheck. You're expecting to be able to better your life. Your life out here with the job is going to be greater than the one that was back there, or you wouldn't be seeking for it, because you're moving forward and you want to move forward. So therefore you go into employment and you get the job. Well, now it is your responsibility to seek out what that job needs of you and to expect the blessings and the benefit from it, because you're going to work hard. So you've got an expectation there. Well, in our relationship with God, he expects us to see the blessings that he has for us, and he expects us to hold him true for that. And he wants to be in a relationship with us through the love of Christ in us, through the love that we've accepted, to be able to go forward and to work out what it is he has designed for our life. So we want to better, and we know that God has better for us. He assures us that he will make our way straight. Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do exceedingly, immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that works in us. It's not our power that's going to do any of this. It's not even our power to trust God. It is all in the power of his strength. But where the trust comes in is through expecting him to show up and then seeking him. And just like a job, when they say, okay, report here at 8 o'clock in the morning, you have a job to follow. There is something, there's a course that you are now supposed to be taking. If you want to follow through with this job and you want to have all of the blessings of it, and you're coming into a relationship with this employer, and there's going to be a trust, that employer is going to trust you, you're going to trust that employer, that when you do your job, you're going to reap the harvest. And when the employer expects the employee to do the job that is going to benefit, so that employer can also sow more seeds and there can be more of a harvest and the business can grow. So it's a working relationship, but taking that in context with God, that's what he wants from us too, and it builds a trust. You know that when we get a paycheck, we feel good. You know, if we're having a down day and, you know, we're looking at bills and we're looking at the problems and the circumstances that are coming, but we go, whew, payday's coming. Payday is coming. And we get excited about that because we have an expectation. And we know that we've done the work. And we know what has been promised to us. That's what God's Word tells us, is that He promises that He's going to take care of us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. His Word is trustworthy and true. Everything that He has for us will come to pass, but He needs us to see it. Because like going for a job, if you don't see that job and you don't go for it, you're never going to know that you got it. You're never going to know what you're capable of. So God wants us to follow Him. In following someone, you're going to imitate. And our imitator, the one that we imitate, is Christ Jesus. So there is a corresponding action to your faith. Faith builds trust, and the more you follow, the more you learn, the more you imitate, the more confidence you build. You trust in what you see in the natural. But with God's relationship of trust, He goes even further. He says, I want you to trust when you can't even see it. Because He's a supernatural God with a supernatural power. So what greater do we have than the physical, than to have Almighty God saying, I want you to believe me when you can't see it. Because I'm so powerful, I've already set this day aside. I've already written this down, and you cannot change the course that I have for you. Even when you mess up, even like an employer, if you're late for work, you know, if you've got a good employer that truly, and you've got a trust relationship and you've been faithful, He's going to look at that and say, you know what, that's okay. Let's start over. Well, our God starts over and over and over. The Word tells us that His mercy is new every day. We can trust that because His Word tells us that. And you know, we know that if we were left in our present condition, that woe is we, basically. Woe am I if I left myself in my present condition. If I left myself even on a job and I started to slack, and I started to say, well, the boss isn't here today, I'm a little tired, let me just take a little nap. Let me just lay down on this job a little bit because, you know, he's not watching me. You know, you can get slack. Well, with God, we can have a tendency to do that. You know, and that's going to affect our relationship. That's going to affect our trust because it's going to affect our confidence. But you know, it's not that His confidence is moved. It's not that who He is moved. It's that our confidence in ourselves has shifted. The Word tells us in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so is he. Trust God and rethink your thinking. A negative heart and mindset is going to produce, we all know it's going to produce a negative result. A positive heart and a positive mindset, that's going to produce a positive result. We all in here can agree that we all want positive outcomes. The Lord tells us in Philippians 4:8 in His Word that, and actually this is through Paul, written, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent and admirable, trustworthy, think on these things. Well, that sounds pretty positive to me. You know? So in our relationship, if we are expecting God and we are thinking on these things that are lovely and right, and we have an outcome that we expect, which is, this is going to work out for my good, then that builds our confidence. And God can work with that. God works with our confidence. He works with our fears. He works with our confidence. He works with our shortcomings. He works with even when we don't talk to Him. You know, His grace is still there. So we still have all of that power to guide us and to lead us back to whatever's good, whatever's right, whatever's true, what is of good report. Trusting God, you renew your mind to His thoughts and His ways. Matthew 6:34 says, seek Him, strive after Him, first His kingdom, His righteousness, His way of doing it right, His way of being right, and all these things taken together will be given to you. And you know, when we are in a relationship, we are expecting something out of it. I don't know of any of us that really goes into a relationship just saying, well, I don't want to, you know, get anything from this. You go to a job, you expect to get a paycheck, you know. And God wants us to go in it with doing better than what's expected of us. As we grow in our trust with God and we become imitators, as we're following Him and becoming more like Him, we don't want to settle for mediocre, you know. And so that's going to get the employer to notice us more. And God has a way of, even when maybe man does not notice us, He's going to notice us. And He's going to promote us, because He promises that. So He's even trustworthy in that, that He is going to promote us, that He has a way. And even when we mess it up, He's going to straighten it out. So why don't we seek God's perfect will? Why do sometimes we go through times and it makes it difficult for us to walk out our faith, you know? Just like some mornings it's kind of hard to get up and go to that job. You know, we're like, oh, my back is really hurting, or, you know, I don't really feel like going in today. And we start to get this mode about us, this attitude that says, I don't know, I don't really think I want to do this today. You know, and a lot of times it can just be that we're looking at the physical things going on in our body. We've got our focus off of what our real, you know, job for the day is. Or perhaps that we've looked more on our own prideful self. Maybe we had a little tiff with the boss. We don't think he deserves our time, or, you know, we'll just make him pay by not being in today. You know, so we have our own thoughts. And God says we need to take all those thoughts into Him, because He's going to help to straighten those things out. And that's going to keep a trust level. It's going to be a protection for us. So we know that in trusting God, we also are having His protection. That's another one of His promises. Another reason to trust Him is because of that. But God tells us that there is a real enemy, and he's got to be identified. And that enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And his name is Satan. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us to be sober and alert, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour and shut down. You know, and a lot of times we get tormented, you know, we get downtrodden. Pastor spoke today about us being in agreement and praying for one another, and agreeing for that specific thing so that we know that we are praying and the person that is receiving the prayer can receive it. That's trust. That's trust to do that. And that's what God wants us to bring to Him, because He already knows what's going on out here, and He knows where the devil is, and He knows where things are placed to be stumbling blocks in our way. But you know, God is good. He didn't create those stumbling blocks, but He holds us in His hand. And some things are sifted. He allows to flow onto us and onto our path. But it's not to break us down. It is not to destroy us. That's what the Satan is doing around us. It is there to sift us like that fine wheat ready for the harvest. Because what God is doing is He is building that trust. He's saying, I've got you. You see what's going on here, but I've got you. And the only reason these things have come is because it is just binding our relationship, that trust. You know, if you could go to your job and there was never an issue with, you know, say, maybe all of the checks didn't get filed properly, or maybe all the accounts didn't get credited for what they were supposed to do, and there's some mistakes at the office. None of us like that. But you know, what we do is we admit up to that, we look at that, and we find a solution to the problem. See, God is in the solution business. Yes. He's not in the problem business. Amen. He knows there's already the problem. That's why He sent Jesus in the beginning. Amen. Because that was our problem solver. That was who we were supposed to imitate, and that's who we were supposed to receive the power from to be able to handle this. So as we're sifted, it's because God loves us and He trusts us. And so running from him in those circumstances is not going to, that would be like running from your blessing. And you need to really see that, because and understand that God is holding you. And as these disappointments and these losses and these things come, that it's really, truly, because God has got something better. And he wants us to see the better. And he knows that if we never had the comparison, it's just like if you always had a great day at the office, if everything went smoothly, and you never had anything to compare it to. If one of your brother and sisters came to you and said, man, I just don't understand why this is happening at the office and this and this and this, you would have no empathy, no compassion, no level to come to. She could not or he could not come to you in trust because you do not understand where they're at. You could not be on the same page prayerfully. So God knows just what sifting needs to happen and just what things need to come at you. And he wants you to get a vision, a desire for what's in your heart, and to put it before him, because you can't obtain something that you don't know what it is that you wanted. If you are confused, that's not of God. So he wants to help you sort through that, and he's promised that he does it. Trust in God, you will renew your mind. His thoughts will be your thoughts, and his ways your ways. It's God's will to straighten your path. That's when we trust him. It's his will to straighten our path. He has great and wonderful plans for us. Like I said, the disappointments, the losses, the negative outcomes, God allows them, but he doesn't send them. And a lot of times, that loss or that grief or that disappointment makes us second guess our relationship with God, because we think, well, God, I can't trust you. You didn't follow through on what I wanted. There's the issue. God created us. God made the provision for our redemption because he knew our human bodies were frail. They were broken. They were bruised. So he put it all on his son, Jesus. And he said, trust me in this for your salvation, but also for the life and the purpose that I have for you. Follow me and I will work it out for your good. Romans 8:28. And I'm going to go to an example. This is actually where God had started all of this with me. And it comes out of Matthew 14:22-34. And I'm going to give a little bit of the synopsis of it. But Jesus had been speaking, and he had told the disciples, he said, I'm going to need to go up on the hill, and I'm going to be by myself, and I'm going to pray. First thought. Commit, expect, and follow. What did Jesus do? First thing he did, there's a new assignment God's got for him. What did he do? It was about his Father's business, and he prayed. But he had a physical thing that he had to do on earth with the disciples. And he told the disciples, he said, now I want you to go, and I want you to get the boat, because we're going to go to the other side. So Jesus gave them a vision, an expectation. He also gave them something to follow. Go get the boat, get yourself in it, get prepared, we're going to the other side. I'm going over here, so you're going to be on your own, so you need to do what's necessary to be done. Well, in looking at this, I thought about, you know, when my late husband was alive. I live on the river, as many of you know, and at the time I owned a pontoon boat, and it was nothing for us to get out on the boat every day. I mean, every night. But on the weekends, it was really a big thing because the boys, they wanted to be pulled by the boat. So anyway, Steve, we'll call him the captain of the boat. Anyway, he says, okay, we're going to go get on the boat. I need y'all to get ready. It was our responsibility, it was my children's responsibility to get their life jackets. They needed to be prepared. They had an expectation that we're going in the river and we're going to go somewhere. We're going to eat. So they had this vision, but they had to be prepared. They had to be prepared for what was going to be going on. They needed towels to dry off with. They needed life jackets just in case they want to jump in the water. Let's pull a few floats. So we got everything equipped on the boat as to what we could see in our natural eye, what we could do. Now, Steve, he was a seaman. He knew, you know, he knew what to do with a boat. I mean, he was good. He was very good. So we trusted him. We have a relationship. We're going to get in the boat, and we're going to the other side. And we're going to get some hamburgers and fried okra, and it's going to be good. So anyway, we're going to the other side. So just as Jesus gave the disciples an order, he says, go get the boat. We're going to the other side. That's what we did. We got in the boat, and we go. Well, let's look at the story of Jesus, and I'm going to go back to comparing it to my own. Okay, so what happens is Jesus comes back, and the disciples have set out on the water, and Jesus knows that the storms are really starting to come up, and you know they're going. So he just does what Jesus does. He just walks on the water. So you know, if I'd woke up and I'd saw, I think I would respond exactly as they did, and they thought they saw a ghost. So they were, you know, this was like, I think it says like 3 o'clock in the morning, and they asked Jesus. They're like, oh, you know, who is this? They're afraid. They're not only afraid because they've been in this storm, they got like all this storm going on around them. They don't know what's going. And they've got, you know, Jesus standing there. So Jesus gets in the boat, and of course the boat is like, and they're like, Jesus. And I can imagine, because I've been out on the boat, y'all, and a storm come up. It ain't fun. It is not fun. And because we trust the captain, you know, we got the blankets and we got the life jackets, we got all that. We also know where to go on the boat and what to do because we've studied it, we've been prepared, we imitate, we follow, so we're prepared. But still, when it comes up, it's amazing how you can just forget all that. I mean, you just like, oh my God, where's the life jackets? What did I do? You know, so I can understand how these disciples were thinking. But they were in the boat, Jesus! I mean, Jesus! This is who we look at and go, oh my God, we wish we had Jesus. You know, we would be physically here. But you know what? Going forward to Jesus' death, what did he tell the disciples? He told them, he said, greater works are you going to do than I do because the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. So we have the Holy Spirit. The disciples had Jesus and they had him in the boat. So anyway, Jesus calms the storm and he says, well, we're going to the other side. Okay? And they were like, wow, this is, the, you know, oh, man, who is this? Who? Jesus, look at you. And they're in awe because Jesus calmed the storm. So they kneel down. They take a different position. They kneel down and they worship him. So, Jesus prayed. He went about his Father's business. He knew he had a job to do. The storms didn't bother him. He just walked on water. He wasn't worried because he knew he had trust in the Father to do what he needed to do. All the outside circumstances and all the things, even the disciples, you know, because I would have went crazy, excuse me, I just would have, even though I knew, I mean, there's Jesus. And that's what it, think about it. You know, we think sometimes if we just had that security blanket, then we'd be okay. Think about it. Lord, if I just had more money in the bank, you know, if I just had this, everything'd be all right. But you know what? God sent us a comforter. He sent us the Holy Spirit. We have it. All we have to do is follow it. We have to receive it and we trust it. We have to commit to it and we have to expect it to be there. And what that does is just like they had Jesus and Jesus calmed and they worshiped and they went to the other side, that's what God wants in our relationship. He wants us to trust him. Yes. Trust. And that trust is an action. Those disciples had an action. Their first action was fear and confusion, you know, and they were scared, you know. And I'm sure there's probably a couple of them on there, though, that thought, hey, wait a minute now, this is going to be all right. You know, we're going to be okay. And I'm sure some of them thought, and it might have been John, because, you know, he always thought he was the disciple that Jesus loved, didn't love anybody else. So, you know, had he might have been on the boat, and he might have been there, and I don't know. I don't know that for sure, Pastor. But what I'm saying is if there was one on the boat that thought, you know, he might have a little bit of pride in him on his own self. But what I got from all of this was that Jesus was about the Father. He was about the Father. He trusted Him because what the Father told Him, He just went out and did. That's what He did. He didn't second guess the reason God was doing that. You know, and He made His petitions known. We all know that. We know about the prayer that He prayed, Father, if it be Your will, you know, let this cup pass from me. He was human. He felt what we felt. But all in all, He was in agreement with God. He trusted God, and He got to the other side. And that's what God wants for us. He doesn't want just our salvation. He doesn't want us just to come to Him and expect things, because you know what? Not everything we expect is going to happen the way we think. When I got on the boat with my husband and my children, we were going to the other side to get hamburgers and fried okra, and a storm came. So sometimes those ripples come on the water, and they will, and if you think they don't, then you know maybe you're not walking as close to God as you think you are. Because you know what? There's always going to be someone around you that needs something from you. And if you have a true empathetic heart and you have the love of God and you are doing the will of your Father, then you are loving one another. And that does bring grief and burdens to our hearts sometimes, watching our loved ones go through hard times. But God wants us to trust Him in those hard times. And He wants us to get out of the boat and walk on the water just like Jesus does, if He asks us to. But in that trust, we can truly rely on that He has got our greatest and our best ahead of us, always. And He loves us more than we can even fathom. And I know everyone in here is saved, and I thank God for that. But if you need to rededicate, or you feel like that maybe you've just gotten stuck in expectation, or maybe you just got stuck in commitment, and you're really having a hard time trusting God, understand that His love for you is the greatest thing you can ever experience. And He's never trying to get anything away from you. And that all He wants is a relationship with you. And just like as you in the physical want to do things for your family and you have a relationship with them, and there comes rough times sometimes, that you too, it can come back together and it can be restored and it can be redeemed. But it first starts with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because in Him, you find the power. That's where you receive the power. So trust God. Commit your way to Him. Expect greater things. And know that He will never leave you or forsake you. And anything that bad or losses or anything that's come again, you know, that you have had to go through, God truly, truly will get better to you. And if there is something in your life that you feel like that you don't understand, just give it to God, because He wants you to follow Him. He wants you to have that relationship, and it's worth it. It is worth it. This life and salvation is not just about when we get to heaven. It's bringing heaven to earth. Thank you.